Internet provides innovative new ways for donors to connect to charities. All Together Now's Peter Chaplin reports on the growing phenomenon that is blogger philanthropy.
It's Friday night, and at this trendy gallery in San Francisco's South of Market neighborhood, the crowd of mostly 30 and 40-somethings have gathered for a fundraiser. Except there's no jar for donations at the door, and no passing the hat here. They have already given online. They are part of a community committed to building a better world, who are linked together not as a social network, but as readers, blog readers. And the blog they read belongs to Dave McMurtry. It's called HelpDaveChangeLives.org.
Help Dave Change Lives is my foundation, which is the culmination of interests I've had in philanthropy over the years. And it is truly as umbrella as it sounds, and it is a foundation that helps change lives around the world.
He's raised over $175,000 in 5 months to build 38 homes in Colombia, South America.
Much of what I have is because I was just fortunate to be born here in a supportive family. And if it wasn't for a lot of luck, I could be one of those people in Colombia receiving a house instead of building a house.
Renee Loth-Calley became a donor after beginning as a loyal blog reader. She still forwards each update to 30 of her friends via email. And many of them have become donors too.
The blog is David, and that's who he is, and it was very fun, and it showed the commitment that he had, but it was really important because you could see the homes being built in progression. You got to share in the experience, even though you weren't there, and financially, a lot of people can write checks and just put them out there, but when you really get to experience it, you feel like you had a part in it, you had a piece of it, not just sending a check and signing your name.
This is blogging philanthropy. David McMurtry is using technology and the web to create a community of those who care to make a difference. He has 15,000 unique users and more than 400 individual donors.
The blog is the stake in the ground, and it's the anchor to which people return to either learn or to get updated about the project. However, it's the viral marketing side and the fact that many of my successes wouldn't have happened if the blog hadn't been forwarded so many times. Case in point, I found someone who just happened to be high school classmates with the president of Colombia, and he said, "Hey, I read your blog. I'm a friend of a friend of a friend of yours. Would you like to meet the president? Perhaps he could help." And I said, "Sure, that's a good place to start." In the end, I met with the First Lady of Colombia, and very much like Hillary Clinton in her First Lady days, she is in charge of the social welfare side. And she said, she was forwarded my blog. She sent me an email and said, "Hey, I read your blog, and I see there are 400 people from 16 different countries around the world supporting this project of yours. Come on in and we'll talk about it." And the Reader's Digest version of the story is the Colombian government is now supporting Habitat as a Tier 1 NGO, and they're building a school in my neighborhood so the children have somewhere to go. And none of this wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the fact that the blog existed as an educational tool, and two, that she received this email from someone who knew somebody who knew somebody who knew me and could forward that, "Hey, this is a guy who's worth trusting. Check out his blog."
Akbar Stanley, a web executive at sfsurvey.com, is also a donor because he likes feeling personally connected. Thanks to the blog and technology, there are no layers of separation between donor and result.
The technology has evolved to the point where it supports our need as humans to connect. Each of us is out there on our own, and we're looking to connect with like-minded people. So this technology supports that, and further, it allows somebody to take a vision and put it out there in the public space, and then it allows others to take psychological ownership of that vision and see it through to the end. So this continuous conversation back and forth with blogging lets people that can otherwise wouldn't be able to be involved to be involved in a remote project.
David McMurtry discovered his blog readers not only valued his personal connectivity, they needed a daily fix.
I changed my time investment while I was in Colombia to majority time in the construction site to majority time back at the internet cafe, hoveled in the corner with my laptop, because I found that people would read the blog and they would read the email updates and they would feel compelled to talk to me. And they would either do it in email and or chat, or they would call my Skype number, which was a 415 number, and they would think that, oh, perhaps he's in San Francisco. And they would call, and I would answer the phone, and we'd have a 30-second or a two-minute conversation. And they felt as though, while they were reading the blog and seeing the pictures of me posted today and having a chat, an email, or a Skype conversation with me, they felt as though they were part of it. This is bringing at unbelievably inexpensive levels. It's bringing nonprofits to people who wouldn't have had a chance to see them before, with a human side. Hey, this is my friend's project, check it out. At, you know, costs that are so low, you feel compelled to donate simply because it's so easy.
Located in a rehabbed former print shop in San Francisco's Mission District, Kiva.org describes itself as the world's first person-to-person lending platform for the poor, a website where you can browse profiles of entrepreneurs from around the world. Its purpose is to link those interested in business in the first world to help those in the third by offering a loan to grow their business and escape poverty. Its CEO is Matt Flannery. He started Kiva.org with his wife and a mailing list built primarily on guests who attended their wedding.
The word that comes to mind is disintermediation. So the internet is able to cut out a lot of intermediate steps that prevent one from delivering money from one place to another place. So, for instance, through our website, you don't need to interact with governments. You don't need to interact with huge aid organizations. It's almost as close as one person paying another person across the world.
In 6 months, the site has raised more than $500,000 and made loans to more than 800 businesses, in amounts ranging from just $75 to $2,000.
The technology gives you presence exactly. It makes those people in a country far away seem very close. And it presses the issue that, you know, you are actually very well connected to these people, and they're actually neighbors of yours. And you can talk to them every day and hear back from them every day. And when those walls go break down, you sort of imagine people as your neighbors, and your world shrinks. And when you see that you can actually affect all these people and they're actually really connected to you, it makes the call to action really strong. When you're actually part of that world and a character in the world and interacting with that world every day, it becomes really personal.
Flannery believes that this kind of closeness fostered by technology is changing the way we think about charity. No one knows for sure how many bloggers are using their sites for organized philanthropy, but online fundraising is up substantially. And with the continuing democratization of the web, blogs are the newest tool enabling individuals to share their concerns, their passions, and to enlist the help of others. Reporting for Altogether Now, I'm Peter Chaplin.
Thank you for listening to Altogether Now. Altogether Now is sponsored by Cisco. If you'd like more information on today's show or future segments, you can find it at cisco.com/go/altogethernow. On the next Altogether Now, we look at a fleet of high-tech ships delivering medical help to those in need. Don't miss it. Thanks for joining me. I'm Charles Zewie.